Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, Text 36, The Prayers of the Personified Vedas. Sattaha, from that which is permanent,
Idam,
this universe, Utitam, arisen, Sat, permanent. Iti, thus. Chet, if someone proposes. Nanu, certainly. Tarka,
biological contradiction.
Hatam,
refuted.
Vyapichariti,
it is inconsistent.
Kwacha,
in some cases.
Kwacha,
in other cases.
Vrisha,
illusion.
Na,
not.
Tata,
so.
Upaya,
of both the real and illusion.
Yuk,
the conjunction.
Vyavahritaye,
for the sake of ordinary affairs.
Vikalpa,
an imaginary situation.
Ishita,
desired.
Anta,
of blind men.
Paramparaya,
by a succession.
Brahmayati,
bewilder.
Bharati,
the words of wisdom.
Te,
your.
Uru,
numerous.
Vritibi,
with their semantic functions.
Okta,
by ritual utterances.
Jadan,
dulled.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada.
It may be proposed that this world is permanently real because it is generated from the permanent reality. But such an argument is subject to logical refutation. Sometimes, indeed, the apparent non-difference of a cause and its effect fails to prove true, and at other times the product of something real is illusory. Furthermore, this world cannot be permanently real, for it partakes of the natures of not only the absolute reality, but also the illusion disguising that reality. Actually, the visible forms of this world are just an imaginary arrangement resorted to by a succession of ignorant persons in order to facilitate their material affairs. With their various meanings and implications, the learned words of your Vedas bewilder all persons whose minds whose minds have been dulled by hearing the incantations of sacrificial rituals. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Upanishads teach that this created world is real but temporary. This is the understanding that devotees of Lord Vishnu adhere to. But there are also materialistic philosophers, like the proponents of Jaimini, Rishis, Karma, Mimamsa, who claim that this world is the only reality and exists eternally. For Jaimini, the cycle of karmic reaction and action is perpetual, with no possibility of liberation into a different transcendental realm. This viewpoint, however, is shown to be fallacious by a careful examination of the Upanishadic mantras, which contain many descriptions of a higher spiritual existence. For example, Sat Eva Somyedam Agra Asid Ekam Eva Dvitiyam. My dear boy, the absolute truth alone existed prior to this creation, one without a second. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. Also, Vijnanam Anandam Brahma. The supreme reality is divine knowledge and bliss. Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad 3.9.34. In this prayer of the personified Vedas, the materialist's argument is summed up in the word Sata Idam, Utitam Sat. The visible world is permanently real because it is generated from the permanent reality. In general, this argument goes that which That which is produced from a certain thing is composed of that thing. For example, earrings and other ornaments made from gold share gold substance. Thus the Mimamsa logicians conclude, since the world as we know it is, a manifestation of an eternal reality, it is also eternally real. But the Sanskrit ablative expression sataha, from the eternal reality, implies a definite separation of cause and effect. Therefore, what is created from sat, the permanent reality, must be significantly different from it. In other words, temporary. In this way, the argument of the materialist is flawed because it proves just the opposite of what it is intended to prove, taka hatam, namely that the world as we know it is all that exists, that it is eternal, and that there is no separate transcendental reality. In defense, the Mimamsakas may claim that they are not trying to prove non-difference per se, but rather trying to disprove the possibility of difference, or in other words, the possibility of any reality separate from the known world. This attempt to support the Mimamsa argument is easily refuted by the phrase vyabhicharati kvacha. That is to say, there are counter-examples that deviate from the general rule. Sometimes, indeed, the source is very different from what it produces, as in the case of a man and his young son, or a hammer and the destruction of a clay pot. But the Mimamsakas reply, the creation of the universe is not the same kind of causation as your counter-examples. The father and the hammer are only efficient causes, whereas the sat is also this universe's ingredient cause. This reply is anticipated by the words kvacha mrsha, and sometimes the effect is illusory. In the case of the false perception of a snake where there is a rope on the ground, the rope is the snake's illusion's ingredient cause, differing in many respects from the imagined snake, most obliviously in its being real. So finish the purport, or should we just stop there? Purport's another 2 pages.
Maybe Sridharaswami place at the end
of it. What
is it? Like the very last thing. Sridharaswami
place. Okay, I'll finish it. The Mimamsaka is once more rejoined, but the ingredient cause of the illusory snake is not just the rope by itself. It is the rope plus the observer's ignorance, avidya. This avidya is not a substance. The snake it produces is called an illusion. Since avidya is not a substance, the snake it produces is called an illusion. Yet the same is true. The personified Vedas reply, in the case of the universe's creation from sat in conjunction with ignorance, tato baya yuk, here the unreal element of illusion, maya, is a living being's misconception that their own bodies and other changing material forms are permanent. I'll stop there. Omagyan, Timarandasya, Ginamjana, Shalakaya, Chakshun, Militamyena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave, Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam, Stapitamyena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamaya, Dadati Swa, Padantikam. Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha, Kripa Sindubya Evacha, Petitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namanamaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in Vedic culture, in Vedic life, in Vedic history, there are many philosophies, 6 prominent philosophies which are there. And Srila Prabhupada says that spiritual life is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. So you can make spiritual life simple or you can make it complicated. That's up to you. If you want to keep things simple, it is simple. Chant and be happy. That's it. That's simple. Or you can make it complicated, and you can study and go into the Vedas, and there's so much jnana, so much knowledge, and so much and arguments and counter arguments and like that. But for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we tend to like to keep things very simple. That's our mood. Our mood is simplicity. It's one of the qualities of a brahmana. It's one of the qualities of a devotee. He just likes things to be simple. Things do not need to be complicated like that. Our process is actually simple, because our process is based upon bhakti, whereas the processes of the jnanis and so forth are very complicated, because it's all based on jnana or philosophy, argument, dry argument, speculation, counter arguments, and it goes on and on and on. But what is the point? So, just like Lord Brahma gives the example in the 10th canto, in the 14th chapter, he says that the process that the impersonalists follow is just like beating empty husks of rice. Or what do you get from beating an empty husk of rice? What's the result? Hard labour. That's all it is. Right? Someone already came yesterday and beat the rice and took all the rice, and they just left all the husk. And then you came now with the hope of getting something out of it, and you just beat it and beat it and beat it and beat it. And then what do you get at the end? Nothing. That's so much hard work, and nothing was attained, nothing was achieved. So this is, Lord Brahma says, this is like the impersonal or the jnana way of self-realization. They try to become self-realized, but it is simply hard labor, and at the end you don't actually achieve anything. Just like the question is asked, where do we come from? Do we come from Brahma Jyoti, or do we come from Vaikuntha? So some people argue about this point, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Where do we come from? And Srila Prabhupada gives the example, just like the sages, they were sitting under a tree and they're all arguing back and forth. And then one bird comes and he lands on the tree. And then when he takes off, when he flies off the tree, then one fruit drops. So one of the sages said, because the bird flew off and he bumped the tree, then the fruit dropped. And the other sage said, no. He said, Hare Baba. No, wrong. He said, what happened is the fruit fell, scared the bird, and the bird flew off. And the other sage said, no. The bird flew off and the fruit fell, same time. Bus. That's what happened. Right? So they argue and argue and argue and argue and argue and argue and go back and forth. Right? At the end of the day, who really cares? It doesn't really matter. Is that the point of life? But that's what it's like. They beat the husk and beat the husk and beat the husk. Right? And go through so much gyan, so much debate, and so much neti, not this, not that, argumentation, speculation. And what do you get at the end? Nothing is actually achieved. What is the point? So devotees are not like that. Devotees like to be simple. So Prabhupada, I think it was up here in his room in Melbourne, and devotees are saying, so where did we come from? We come from Brahma Jyoti, or we come from Vaikuntha, spiritual world? Where do we come from? So this has been argued for thousands and thousands of years. Where did we come from? If we were in Vaikuntha, if we were with Krishna, then how could we have left? It doesn't make sense. How did we leave? If we were with Krishna in the spiritual world, how could we have left? Krishna is all attractive, by definition. It doesn't make sense. Right? So then people say we must have came from the Brahma Jyoti. But Srila Prabhupada clearly says, originally everyone was Krishna conscious. And Mahaprabhu says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. The constitutional position or the perfection of the soul is love for Krishna. It was already there. Prabhupada said it is already in the heart. And it's not something that has to be introduced from something external, it just has to be brought out. Already we are devotees. But it simply has to be uncovered and manifest once again. So they were asking Prabhupada then, where did we come from? Brahma Jyoti? Or we come from... So Prabhupada gave the example that we fall from the spiritual sky, we come into the material world, and then Once we're in the material world, we can go up to the Brahma Jyoti, but then we stay there for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of, you know, yugas, right? You stay up there for so much time, you can't even calculate how much time everyone's been up there. But then at some point in time, everyone comes back. The soul comes back. And then he may stay in this material world, and then eventually he may go back again to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada was saying, so some people may say we came from the Brahma Jyoti. Yes, you may have come from the Brahma Jyoti. You may have come to the material world from spiritual world, from Vaikuntha, gone to Brahma Jyoti, come back from Brahma Jyoti. So someone may say we came from Brahma Jyoti. That's true. Just doing a little. So someone may say that we went to spiritual world, we came back, went to Brahma Jyoti, then came back. So you can say we came from Brahma Jyoti. That's true. But not originally. We did not originally come from the Brahma Jyoti. But they will argue like this. We come from Brahma Jyoti. But this is not our ultimate place that we came from. So they argue about these things, back and forth, and write books about it, and set up email conferences about it, and everyone argues about it, and it goes on for 50 years. With all due respect, who cares? And then Prabhupada said at the end, when Prabhupada explained the whole thing, Prabhupada said, just like you wake up in the middle of the night and the house is on fire, do you walk around finding out which room started the fire? If you're in the forest and someone shoots you with an arrow, right, do you start walking around the forest trying to work out, from which tree, from behind, If you've got an arrow sticking in your body, or if your house is on fire, you do something immediate. Right? You jump out the window or you pull out the arrow. So Prabhupada gave the example, this is what it's like. You're in the material world, you're suffering. Samsara dava na lalita loka. You are suffering. Right? Get out of the material world. Don't sit around, right? Armchair speculators and philosophers arguing about, did I come from Brahma Jyoti or did I come from like that? Was I a gopi or was I a cowherd boy? All these different things that everyone argues about. What's your point? Get out of the material world. Hands up if you're happy in the material world. It's not a good place. Not a nice place. Just like my father told me a number of years ago, he said he went to New York City he went to America like on a holiday, and he went to New York City and he wanted to see the Bronx. Has everyone heard of the Bronx? It's a very bad place in New York City. Famous place. Most of you are from India, so you're very pure. You've never heard of these places. When Prabhupada was in... where was Prabhupada?
There's one saying about the Bronx. Nothing soft comes out of the Bronx.
You're not supposed to read the advertisements. This is Maya. You're reading the advertisements when you go out of book distribution. Stay fixed. Look at the footpath. So, nothing soft comes out of the Bronx. It's a very famous place. Just like when Prabhupada went to America, where did he go to? The Bowery. Right? It's like that, like a very bad place. Bronx, it's known, it's very famous for being a bad place. So my father wanted to see it, because it's so famous. So he said to the taxi driver, go to the Bronx. And the taxi driver said, you want to go there? And he said, yeah, go. So they started driving. My father's a big man, right? He must start like Kshatriya guy, karate guy, big tough guy, And he went then driving the car into the Bronx, and they got him one block, and he said, taxi driver, he said, turn around. He said, get out of this place. He said, there was these big, 8 foot tall, big black men, leaning on cars, like he said, very scary. He said, you don't want it. He said, if he had stayed in there for another 10 minutes, he may not have come out with his wallet, and, it's a very dangerous place. This is what the material world is like, actually. It's not a good place. It's an unpleasant place. So we should not waste our time. You don't sit here arguing, how did it become like this? And, where did I actually come from? And what's it all about? Just get out. You've got a chance now. You've got an opportunity. This opportunity is rare. Just like the example is given. What is the chance of a turtle in the ocean sticking its head out of the water, and there's a log There's a log which is floating by, and that log has a hole in it. What's the chance of the turtle sticking its head out of the water and putting its head through that hole in the log? Right? Not much chance of that happening. That's what it's like taking to spiritual life in Kali Yuga. Not much chance of it happening. So if you've got the opportunity, you've got the chance, now get out. Make the best use of the opportunity. Right? Don't sit around and procrastinate and argue and try to analyse why did I get here and complicate the whole thing and, you know, waste half of your life on email conferences arguing with everyone around the planet. You know, what's the point? You know, I don't even know how to use a computer. Right? And I'm happy. Because every time I talk to someone who's got a computer, they're either fixing it, or it crashed, or, you know, they're wasting their time on some stupid conference which doesn't have any really meaning or reality like that. What's the whole point? You know, use your life for what it's meant for. What is your life meant for? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Right? Vedanta Sutra begins. Now you're a human being, make the best use of your human form of life. Become Krishna conscious. That's the point. So devotees are simple. We're not complicated. We just keep everything simple. We just chant and dance. And Prabhupada says in the songbook of the Vaishnava Acharyas, Prabhupada said Mahaprabhu's entire process is dancing and chanting and feasting. Sankirtan Jagya Ki. That's it, bus. Yeah. You dance, you chant, right? Now you're a little bit tired, a little bit fatigued, take prasad. Then come back and do more kirtan. Yeah. This is the system, this is the philosophy of Mahaprabhu. Yeah. Simple. You see Mahaprabhu's lila, his pastimes. Just like Mahaprabhu's associate, Vakrashwara Pandit. Who is Vakrashwara Pandit? Mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of Mahaprabhu's associates. Vakrashwara Pandit used to dance in the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya said, if I had another wing like Vakrashwara Pandit, I could fly. He would dance so beautifully in kirtan for the pleasure of Mahaprabhu. And when Vakrashwara Pandit would dance, sometimes he would dance for 72 hours non-stop. You think you can do kirtan 3 or 4 hours, you know. The real kirtans in the spiritual world, they go on 72 hours non-stop. And Mahaprabhu in his kirtans, when everyone was becoming fatigued, sometimes they would stop the kirtan because everyone was getting a little tired after so many hours. Then Mahaprabhu, he took one mango pip and he planted the mango pip in the ground. And in front of everyone's eyes, the mango tree manifested. And it said on that tree, mangoes appeared, and each mango was so big, it could fill 12 men. And it said the mango had no pip and no skin. So everyone had a mango mahotsava. Everyone, they offered the mangoes to Krishna, and everyone took mango prasad, fully refreshed, and then they started kirtan again. Just like my godbrother Murari Chaitanya, he's from Philippines. The Filipino devotees are very famous for kirtan. He told me back in the old days, early 80s, he said when they had kirtan at the Sunday feast, because Philippines is tropical, very, a little bit hot there, and he said they used to perspire so much in the kirtan, they didn't want to be in the kirtan, like, you know, cooking it up in the kirtan, and everyone was perspiring so much, everything would just become soaked. Soaking wet, like they've been in the shower, you know, kirtan, everything, just soaked, you know, just going on and on, hours, you know, kirtan. So then, they'd go and take bath, they'd go and take bath, get in the shower, wash everything, put the dhoti, the kirta in the washing basket, put on fresh dhoti, kirta, come back, kirtan's still going, cook it up again, right, until they're soaking again, sometimes 2 or 3 times, Sunday afternoon. That's the process, right? And then, if you're hungry, take prasad. And then come back and do more kirtan. Right? That's it, bas. Right? Prabhupada says this is Lord Chaitanya's movement. You can become self-realized just by dancing, chanting, and taking prasad. This is the simplicity, right? So Prabhupada says spiritual life is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. You make it as complicated as you want. You get on all those email conferences and you make it as complicated as you want. That's up to you. Or keep it simple, right? Put your computer in hibernation for 6 months, right? And dance and chant and see if you're happy. So, Mahaprabhu's philosophy is, which is the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is achintya, beda, beda, tattva. Means inconceivable, simultaneous, oneness and difference. So, as the Karma Mimamsakas, the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, or the Mimamsakas as being spoken of in the purport, their argument is that the material world is real. But the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, as Mahaprabhu has emphasized and pointed out, and as the Bhagavatam points out, the energy in the material world is real, but the forms are false. That is the correct understanding, right? The energy is real. It is eternal. It is sat. This energy, all the energy, the five Mahabhutas, right? The sense objects, right? The senses of perception. It's all real, but it is temporary. Yeah? So therefore it is called asat. So the argument is, by the Karma Mimamsakas, is that the material world is actually reality. It is the ultimate reality. But where is the logic in that? If it is the ultimate reality, then why aren't we enjoying ananda or bliss? Right? And someone says, well, you know, I am enjoying ananda or bliss. But you just look at people these days, you know, how many happy people do you see walking around? You know?
Only Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Prabhupada said there's only two happy people in this world. Well, who are the two happy people? Yeah, fools and paramahamsas. Either you're crazy, right? Or you're a devotee. Right. They're both happy. Devotees are happy and crazy people are happy. But what is the point of being crazy in this material world? What is the point of just being a madman? Yeah, and that's what, just like Prabhupada was in Sydney and he was driving along and there's one suburb in Sydney called Parramatta. So Prabhupada saw the sign Parramatta and he said Pramada. Pramada means?
Mad.
Intoxicated. Illusion. So Prabhupada said Pramada. This whole suburb is Pramada. Everyone is mad. Right? Everyone is intoxicated. Everyone is in illusion. But everyone in the material world, they think, no, we are enjoying it. You Hare Krishnas are just pessimistic. You just have a bad attitude in life. You couldn't make it. Right? You couldn't make it, so you've dropped out. Because you could not make it in the material world. So then you took to spiritual life. That's okay. You're nice people, you don't harm anyone. Just do your chanting and eat your, you know, macrobiotic rice and, you know, just do whatever you do. You don't harm anyone. But actually, you did make it in the material world. That's why you dropped out. But that is not the actual reality. The actual reality is that a devotee understands that you cannot be successful in the material world. And anyone who thinks that you can be successful or can be happy, then that is pramad, that is madness. That is intoxication, that is insanity. Like that. So Prabhupada pointed out that they are all pramad. Everyone is mad in the world. Only the devotee is sane. Because the devotee understands. So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada said you have to develop a healthy pessimism for the material world. Devotees, yes, we are pessimistic about the material world, but it's a healthy pessimism. Right? We just have the attitude that you cannot enjoy in the material world. So why are we going to waste our time trying to enjoy? Why are we going to spend all of our energy trying to be successful in the material world? Right? A devotee understands from a higher perspective or from a higher point of view that you cannot be ultimately happy in the material world. So we are pessimistic about this material energy. But that pessimism, that is okay. That is healthy. Now, that is considered necessary for a devotee. A devotee has to see the material world as being false. A devotee has to see the material world as being a place of suffering. He has to see it. That's healthy. If a devotee becomes intoxicated, sometimes after a number of years or a number of days practicing Krishna consciousness or a number of minutes, then you become intoxicated by the material energy once again. And you think, yes, oh, actually I can enjoy. I just didn't realize that Maya had this new opportunity for me. I thought, oh no, I could not enjoy, but now she's presented something and now, you know, I was in Maya. Now I understand that I can enjoy a little bit. There is this new opportunity. Right? There's this one girl and she is just made for me. She is my soulmate. I couldn't enjoy with anyone else, the other 3 billion on earth, but this one, yes, she is the one. Even one rock star, he wrote the song recently, she is the one. She is the one. Like that. That is called Maya. That's illusion. But you think, no, I've tried everything else in this material world, but no, I was wrong. There's this one opportunity for happiness. Now I have found it. So then you become weak and you deviate. Devotees become in Maya, pramata, right? And then they become intoxicated, right? And then compromise and go into the material energy. But then you realize once again, we have to understand that as devotees, there's no opportunity to enjoy ever again in this material world. It's all finished now. Even if you go back, right, there is a cowherd boy who is looking after you and looking over you all the time, even if you run away. And he has a very special ability to put sand in everyone's sweet rice. So it doesn't matter where you go, you can run as far as you want. And you can try to enjoy and you can try to forget, but everything you do, he will put sand in it. All of those sweet, all the sweet rice you want to enjoy and all the happiness you want to experience, he will imperceptibly, you can't even see him there, but he will put sand in it. So devotees have to be very fixed up in their consciousness. Do not compromise with Maya because it is illusion and there is no happiness in this material world, and devotees have to realize that point. There is no happiness in this material world. So as Mahaprabhu is teaching, we don't see this material world as being false. We see this material world as being temporary and it is a place of suffering. That is what Krishna says in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Right? It is temporary and it is Dukkhalayam. Dukkha means it is miserable. And that's what it is like. So devotees, we have to be convinced of this point. So therefore Prabhupada emphasized that devotees must read his books. Prabhupada once said, if I have one criticism of my disciples is they do not read my books. Prabhupada, I think he was here in Melbourne, he was up in the room. Prabhupada was imitating a book distributor. And Prabhupada was pretending he was one of his disciples distributing books. And he's saying, take the book, take the book. And then Prabhupada, he was playing both roles of the book distributor and the person who was taking the book. So Prabhupada said, take the book, take the book. And the person said, what is in the book? And Prabhupada said, I do not know, it is good for you. Take it. So Prabhupada said, his criticism was that we don't read his books enough. Because if you read his books, then it is the best panacea to cure your illusion or your maya or your material attachments. Because Prabhupada continuously reminds you again and again and again, this material world is just a place of suffering. Do not become illusioned by it. But it's not enough just to be a philosopher or a jnani. One has to do practical service like that. Not enough just to read and just to try to defeat Maya that way. Krishna says in the second chapter of the Gita, keep all abominable activities far distant by devotional service. Just like we read recently that Sanatan Goswami, he says that when you chant japa, you should take a vow to chant a certain amount of rounds every day. Right? Everyone has to have a vow. Just like most of us have the vow of 16 rounds a day. Right? Some devotees may have a higher vow. They may have 32 rounds a day or 64 rounds a day. Whatever the vow is like that. But you have to have a vow in your japa. Every day you must complete a certain amount of rounds every day. Says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says that if you do not finish your rounds on a daily basis, then you are in a diseased condition. This is a disease, this means Maya is creeping in. If you are regularly dropping your prescribed number of rounds, then this means that Maya is creeping in. It is not acceptable. Prabhupada writes that if occasionally, for some unforeseen circumstance, we do drop rounds, you know, maybe it might happen a couple of times a year or something. Then, if that happens, then Prabhupada said you have to make it up the next day immediately. Right, that is the standard which Prabhupada is teaching us. Not that you can regularly drop rounds and think it's acceptable. You will get weak in your spiritual life. It means Maya is already creeping in. So you have to finish your prescribed number of rounds. And those rounds mean attentive rounds. Right? It doesn't mean, you know, Sniggity Ram or, you know, whatever other mantras you like to chant. You know, it means Maha Mantra, right? 16 syllables, sorry, 16 words, right? 32 syllables, right? Clearly, Prabhupada mentions this in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says the pronunciation of the mantra must be clear. Right? In other words, some other devotee should be able to hear you chanting and should be able to understand what you're saying. Right? Sometimes you listen to devotees chant and it's not completely, we're not completely sure which language they're speaking. Right? Or which mantra they are chanting. Right? That's not attentive chanting. It means you're being inattentive while chanting. You know, if you're adding extra words. Like sometimes you hear devotees go, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That means you're not listening. You know, if you're throwing in extras, or sometimes it's Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. You know, if you're dropping words or adding words, it means you're not listening. Right? Because if you're attentive, then, you know, you'll be chanting the 16 words of the Maha Mantra. Like that. So you have to chant properly. So, Prabhupada says in this, in these purports, in the early section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, he says that when you chant, you have to use your tongue and your upper lip and your lower lip. And Prabhupada is so practical that he gives us practical advice how to chant. Prabhupada says, use your tongue. Do you know where that is? Right? Use your tongue. Prabhupada says, use your upper lip and your lower lip. Right? How simple has he made everything for us? Right? So, because if you stop using any of these three, right, your chanting will become a hybrid, or it will become something other than the Maha Mantra. So therefore you have to chant properly. This is how the mantra has potency, like that. So, this is the nature of practicing spiritual life. It is very simple for the simple, it is complicated for the complicated. If you want to keep it simple, you can make great advancement, right, in spiritual life. You can actually go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Yeah. But if you are not serious, it can take Bahu Jamma Kadiyadi Shravana Kirtana. And we say every morning before we recite the 10 offences, Bahu Jamma. It means
many births. Bahu Janma Kariyadi Shravana Kirtana Tabu Tanapaya Krishna. Tabu Tana Paya Krishna Padi Prema Dan. If you want to get prema dan means the gift of prema. Right? If you want to get that gift of prema or love for Krishna, then you have to avoid the offences. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says of all the offences, the root of all the other offences is inattention while chanting. So if you are attentive whilst chanting, and if you are focused whilst chanting, then you can get the result in one lifetime. You can actually develop prema. You can get that gift. But if you are not serious or not focused, then it can take many lifetimes. So take advantage of this opportunity. We should try to go back to Godhead in this lifetime, be serious in this lifetime. The Prabhupada says, don't waste time. This is a symptom of advanced devotional service. An advanced devotee does not waste time. He hasn't got time to just, you know, look at useless internet sites and to speak prajalpa and to, you know, waste time in so many other, play too much cricket. I think I've just committed a big offence by saying that, but a little bit's okay. A little bit is okay. Not too much. You have to play all Sunday. A few hours, okay, just to have a break like that. But when it comes too serious, you know, 50 overs each, and then, that's getting a little bit much. It's a waste of time. Not that. So stay focused in spiritual life, and then take advantage of our opportunity, and we can go back to Godhead in this lifetime if we're serious. So we'll stop here, and we'll see if there's any questions or comments. It is called Pancha Tattva. Yeah, Pancha means five, and Tattva means truth. So this is explained in the Adi Lila, or the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, first of all, you have Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya means it is the original personality of Godhead, Bhagavan himself, the original Ishwara, the supreme personality. And then you have Prabhu Nityananda, who is the incarnation or the first expansion of Godhead, who is Lord Balaram. Balarama Hoilo Nitai. Right? So it is the first expansion of Godhead, is Vishnu Tattva. And then you have Sri Advaita, who is the avatar of God, who is the expansion of the expansion. He is combined form of Maha Vishnu and Sadashiva. Means he is the combined form of the supreme expansions of the Lord. So on that side, you'll see that whenever you see Krishna or Mahaprabhu, you'll see that on Krishna's right, you'll see his expansions like that. So you'll see that Nityananda Prabhu always stands on Mahaprabhu's right. You see Balaram always stands on Krishna's right. So you'll see in the Pancha Tattva, then you'll see on the right is Vishnu Tattva. Vishnu Tattva means Godhead themselves, like that. And then on the left, then you see Shakti Tattva. So then you have Sri Advaita Gadadha. So Gadadha is Shakti Tattva. So it means the Lord's Shakti, or his internal potency. Gadadha Pandit is the form of Srimati Radharani in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So it is Ladini Shakti, or the Lord's energies, like that personified. So Radharani in Vrindavan, she wants to always be with Krishna, but she can't always be with Krishna because she has a female form. So she can't always be with Krishna in Vrindavan. She can be with Krishna half the time, but the other half the time, because there are other people around, then she cannot stay with Krishna. So then Radharani, she thought, what is the use of me being a girl? She said, next time that he appears, I will take the form of a boy.
And then I can always be with him.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore she took the form of Gadadhar. And then, now she can always be with him. She doesn't have to not be with him like that. So then, Gadadhar, and then Srivas. Srivas means Narad Muni, or means the pure devotee. It means Jiva Tattva, like that. So Shakti and Jiva stand on the left, and Vishnu Tattva stand on the right. So Jiva Tattva means Narad Muni is the pure devotee. And then Adi, Gaura, Bhakta, Vrinda. Then it means all the devotees, like that. So that's what the Panchatattva mantra is. Is that okay? Any other question or comment?
Ramji, the food which we offer to Lord, what if sometimes we could not offer properly because we don't have much time to offer? So, is that for that, is there any alternative?
You mean at home?
When you are outside also.
Means like what sort of...
For me, when I go to work and type of things.
Means what sort of food?
Juice mainly, chips.
Chips you can't offer. Because Krishna only eats food which is offered, which is made by devotees. So you can't offer the chips to Krishna, because they're not made by the devotees, they're cooked by non-devotees. Just like Burujan Prabhu, he was in Delhi one time, went from Vrindavan down to Delhi for the day because he had to do some business. And he was with Braja Bihari Prabhu, who is his disciple. And because they were there for longer than they expected, then he was becoming hungry. So then Burujan Prabhu said to Braja Bihari, he said, go and buy me some chips. So he went and brought some chips. He brought back, and then he gave them Burujan Prabhu, and Burujan Prabhu opened their packet and then started to eat them. And Braja Bihari, his disciple, he said, aren't you going to offer them?
Mm-hmm.
And Burujan Prabhu said, offer them to who? Krishna's not going to accept them, so we're going to offer them to Krishna. So the point is, generally, devotees, we avoid eating food which is cooked by non-devotees. In general, that's our principle. Because Prabhupada says, in his purport, he said, if you eat food which is cooked by non-devotees, your mind becomes wicked. Because their consciousness goes into that food, into the grains. So therefore, generally, devotees do not eat what is cooked by non-devotees, like that. Except maybe in some emergency kind of cases like that. But then, if you're taking some juice or something like that, then you can just chant, Prabhupada would chant, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, like that. Then it is offered, like that. So in that way, then you can offer it, like that, and then you can take prasad. The principle is that before you take something, you must think of Krishna. You must offer it to Krishna. You must stop what you're doing. Think of Krishna and offer the food to Krishna. That's called Krishna consciousness. Not that you just take something and... Because the whole point of offering is that we remember Krishna. Put his enjoyment first before ourselves. So we should not eat and, you know, not think of Krishna. That's the point. Does that answer what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
I was wondering, you were mentioning that Shakti is always on the left hand side of Krishna. I was wondering about maybe Subhadra, who's doing my own Shakti.
I knew you were going to ask that question. I think that's just because of this particular situation of the deities. Like that. Generally, the Shakti will be seen on the left side. But Subhadra is standing in between Jagannath and Balaram because she's being protected. They're protecting their sister. So they're sitting on either side like that. So I think in that particular circumstance. But generally, you'll see the system is the other way. That's it. Any other points?
I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I heard the other one from reliable source, so I'm not sure. That's just, yeah, I'm just repeating what I heard in general. Generally, like, you know, I don't, you know, if I see devotees eating chips or something, I don't kind of say, you know, you should offer them to Krishna because, you know, they're being cooked by non-devotees. So the general principle in the Bhagavad Gita is that Krishna accepts that which is cooked by devotees. Prabhupada makes this point, so.
Another question, sorry. It says that the devotees are Lord from all kinds of sin because they get privileged to search up to Krishna. But what is the situation of, for example, the Christian who has not offered to Krishna but thanks Krishna, so there is still remembrance, but it's not actually offering. So is that sort of an in-between sort of situation or in the case of chips?
Yeah, well, they're eating bulgur, they're not eating prasad, but still there's some God consciousness there, which is good.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting? It comes from that God is providing it for them. That's also the part of the incarnation of Krishna. And Krishna's getting it, I think we're getting, you know, what you're saying as well in one sense, but we're understanding that Krishna's the provider and it all belongs to him. So that we're, that's how we're saying.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are sampradayic devotees and non-sampradayic devotees. So you'll see that those who follow the four bona fide Vaishnava sampradayas, then they're considered sampradayic devotees. They're coming in disciplic succession. And because they're coming in disciplic succession, they have parampara, and they learn how to worship God, or worship Krishna, worship the Supreme in an authorized way, in the Vedic fashion. But then there are non-sampradayic devotees, which means they're devotees, they have faith in God, they have shraddha, or faith, but they don't have sampradaya. They don't have like an authorized Vedic line. So you see in Christianity and in Islam and these things, because it's not a bona fide, you can say it's not like inside the Vedic line, then they may do practices which are not as they should be. Because they're outside of a sampradaya, then they may not understand what the rules and regulations, the correct practices are like that. But they're still devotees like that, but they haven't learned the correct practices. It's not being taught in there. So therefore, that's the necessity of connecting oneself to a bona fide sampradaya, so that one can learn the actual system. Because you have to worship God in the way that He wants to be worshipped. That's the point. That's what the nectar of devotion is for. Nectar of devotion in Rupa Goswami teaches us 64 items of bhakti and 64 offences to be avoided. So therefore we have to learn what is the vidhi and what is the nisheda. What is the things which must be done and what are the things which must be avoided. Those things must be learned like that. So if you don't have bona fide sampradaya, then you don't understand. Just like sometimes in the past, you know, people have brought gifts for the deities. One time someone brought like a box, and when the devotees opened up the box, there were cigars in there and, you know, like that. So, you know, like if in the material world, if someone, you know, if you give someone cigars for their birthday, it's considered very high class. But it doesn't, for Krishna, it's considered very low class. It's not what Krishna wants. So the thought is there, the sentiment is there to please God, to please Krishna. But because they're not becoming a sampradaya, they don't understand what is the actual system of pleasing him. Therefore, that's the necessity of coming in parampara, one has to learn.
Also, they can think sometimes, I imagine some of the Krishnas, that Jesus put in with their, partly because they wouldn't be able to take the full instruction, like the Lord's Prayer of saying, give us today our daily bread. It was in the same section, in that same part, it was saying, you know, you shouldn't, you know, just stand on the corner and, you know, always saying, oh, please give me this, please give me that. So it's like, okay, if you're going to say it, just keep it short. You know, whereas we say, you know, don't do it at all if you can help it.
Yeah, it appears in the Bible that from the Bible's been tampered with a lot, so we don't, yeah, it's not so much of an intact scripture. In the 3rd century, then Constantine, who was the Roman emperor, then he took out large portions of the Bible and so forth. They say at that time reincarnation was
removed as much as it could be, and that kind of thing. But it appears that there's some words in the original Aramaic, in the original Greek, that seem to indicate prasadam. Some words that seem to indicate spiritual food. So we know Jesus was a Hare Krishna. You know, Jesus was a devotee, he's a Vaishnava. You know, he wasn't anything else. So, you know, obviously he was offering his food like that, but over time then the succession has been lost. Any other question or comment? Or something? Yeah, Tamal Krishnamurti was with Prabhupada. They're on a train going through India somewhere, and then they stopped at one station. Prabhupada said, saw that they were frying kachoris on the platform, the train station. So Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishnamurti, he said, go and get kachoris, because the train stops in 5 or 10 minutes. So Tamal Krishnamurti went and brought some kachoris, brought them back and gave them to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada started to eat them. And then Tamal Krishnamurti said, oh Prabhupada, that, you know, you don't know like who this man is, what his consciousness is, all these things. Prabhupada said that if it is hot and they're cooking it in front of you, then that's the health side of it taken care of, like that. Because if you, in other words, if you go to India and you take something, you know, which is outside, Prabhupada says the source of all disease, in one of his purports, Prabhupada says the source of all disease is eating outside the temple. So if we eat outside the temple, you'll get sick. So if you eat outside the temple and the food is cold like that, then because it's India, then you know within half an hour you can get so many diseases. So Prabhupada said on the physical platform, that he said that, you know, if you're in some strange situation where you do have to do that, then he said if it's hot and they're cooking in front of you, he said then you can take it. And then he said to explain to Tamal Krishnamurti that if you pay for it, then that removes the karma. You know, because there's a certain amount of karma involved. Because the, you know, non-devotee is cooking, is Tamal Krishnamurti said to Prabhupada, you know, you don't know who he is, and you know, he's not a devotee, and it's just, Prabhupada said, if you pay for it, it removes the karma. Like that. But Prabhupada didn't say anything about offering it or like that, because it's cooked by a non-devotee, so. This is just emergency situations. Sometimes we may take unoffered food, but generally, it's not our practice.
If you might just add something in relation to the chips or from eating, quite often when I'm out here in Australia, most places down here use table fat to be fried in. So you don't have the chips like sort of animal fat to be cooked in, same with bread. Quite often there's animal fat cooked with bread and jam. So they need to be really careful. Like there was a case a couple of years ago with one of those big hamburger place when they were offering people so-called vegetarian foods. And the Hindu Society of Victoria actually took them to court because they were frying it
in animal. Yeah. Yeah, it's an important point that, you know, you can't, a devotee can't take anything from an establishment where meat is cooked. Because someone can say, well, you know, like Hungry Jack's have vegetarian burgers. But the whole place is impure. So how can a devotee take a vegetarian burger from an institution or a company which, you know, slaughters animals and is, you know, the whole place is completely contaminated with the blood of animals. So you know, if someone makes that kind of compromise, that's not an acceptable compromise. So, any other points?
Yeah, they call it a different reason for McDonald's.
Maharaj Max. Just advertising, that's all. Just like that. Make it look like it's innocent and like that. Nothing innocent about it. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai.